Very good evening to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Today is the 6th August 2024, Tuesday class. So we'll be continuing our sharing from this book, The Wonderful Dhamma Lotus Flower Sutta. We are at page 599. Okay, as usual, we gather and we'll have our physical puja. Let us compose our mind, develop the faith, sadha, virya. Then mindfully we shall commence the puja chanting. Namo Bhun Si Si Jia Mo Ni Fo. Namo Bhun Si Si Jia Mo Ni Fo. Namo Bhun Si Si Jia Mo Ni Fo. Namo Quan Si Im Phu Sa. Namo Quan Si Im Phu Sa. Namo Quan Si Im Phu Sa. Namo A Mi Tho Fo. Namo Ami Tho Pho. Namo Ami Tho Pho. Namo Yao Si Pho. Namo Yao Si Pho. Namo Yao Si Pho. Namo Mi Lo Pho. Namo Mi Lo Pho. Namo Mi Lo Pho. Namo Pu Sien Pu Sa. Namo Pu Sien Pu Sa. Namo Pu Sien Pu Sa. Namo Ti Sang Wang Pu Sa. Namo Ti Sang Wang Pu Sa. Namo Ti Sang Wang Pu Sa. Arahang Sama Sambuddho Bhagava Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namasami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Savakasangho Sanghang Namami. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dhammang saranang gacchami, Sanghang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Panatipata viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Adinadana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Kamesu micchacara viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Musawada viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Surameraya majjhapamadatana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Then we'll continue our chanting from Padipa Puja onward. Ganna sarapaditena Dipena tamadangsina Tiloka dipang sambuddhang Pujayami tamonodang Ganda sambarayutena Dupena hang suganghina Pujaye pujaniyang tang Puja bhajana motamang Vanna ganda gunopetang Etang kusuma santatin Pujaye mi pudindasa Siri pada sarorohe Puje mi betang kesumena nena Punena metena ce hotu mokang Pupang milayati yata idang me Kayo tatayati winasa bawang Adivase tuno bante Paniyang parika pitang Anukampang upadaya Patigan hatu mutamang Adivase tuno bante Pali parika pitang Anukampang upadaya Patigan hatu mutamang Adivase tuno bante Bojanang parika pitang Anukampang upadaya Patigan hatu mutamang Now we shall chant the puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all these puja offerings. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha brings forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance there. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense, which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate Sila, Samadhi, and Panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free Nibbana. Making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculty of Sada, Virya, Sati, and Panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers. Sharing and transfer merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let's pay respect to Tripaja. Vedang Pujami. Mang Pujami Sanghang Pujami. So just relax body and mind. Then remember the four support to develop the inner awareness. The first support is just relax, complete relaxation of body and mind. Don't try to know, don't try to do anything, just relax. Be in a state of complete, total relaxation, at ease. no physical and mental suffering. Beautiful mind, silent everything. Then maintain inner awareness, just away, finish. Whatever arises, away, away. And let the whatever activity of mind, which is the sankhara thinking, manifestation, habitual stirring, let it cease, let it settle down, slow down, and finally completely cease. Your ability to maintain awareness is very important. Maintaining awareness can make the mind very quiet and very still. Yeah. Then stabilize the awareness, we are not doing anything. Then after that, the mind will settle down and become very quiet and very still. Then that silent mind that manifests via non-thinking. When you are without thought, the pure awareness nature, it will manifest. When it manifests, you will understand very clearly what that mind is, what that silent mind or true mind is. That one is another nature within the awareness nature before the knowing, before the arising of thought. And that one was originally already existing. That's why sometimes we call it the primordial mind. From there, all mundane thinking, thought activity, emotion, manifestation of mind, aggregates, they come to be. So awareness-based meditation is to enable us to develop this inner awareness, to understand all this, to observe and develop wisdom. So all this is what awareness-based meditation is. You all can slowly, mindfully come out of the meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness that you have developed for as long as you can. Okay, now we'll turn to page 6 of the chanting. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in their entirety, let the dainties come here. Let them hear the good teachings of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release, Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta Chakawalisu Atra Gacchantu Devata Saddhammam Munirajasa Sunantu Sakamokkadang Dhamma savanan kalo ayang badanta. Dhamma savanan kalo ayang badanta. Dhamma savanan kalo ayang badanta. Namo atasa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhasa. Namo atasa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhasa. Namo atasa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhasa. Iti peso bhagava arahang sama sambuddho. Vijja charana sampanno sugato lokavidu anuttaro purisa dhamma sarati. Satta deva manusana buddho bhagavati Suakato bhagavata dhammo sandittiko akaliko ehi paseko opanayiko pacatam veditapo vinohiti supatipanno bhagavato saukasango ujjupatipanno bhagavato saukasango yayapatipanno bhagavato saukasango samicipatipanno bhagavato saukasango yadidam chatari purisa yukani atta purisa pugala esa bhagavato saukasango ahuneyo pahuneyo dakineyo anjali karaneyo anuttaram punyam ketam lokasati sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, you all can be seated. Now we will continue from where we stopped. We are at page 599 of this book, The Wonderful Dhamma Lotus Flower Sutta, Miao Fa Lian Hua Jing. All at once a fire breaks out, spreading throughout the house and setting it ablaze. So this is a sutta part. So the explanation under the commentary. All at once a fire breaks out, spreading throughout the house and setting it ablaze. Meaning spreading throughout indicate that the fire have expanded to all part of the houses of the house. This refers to the eight kind of sufferings pervading the four elements and the four type of birth. So the eight kinds of suffering, they are the same as the first noble truth realities, the eight realities that the Buddha proclaimed. So like what the Buddha proclaimed, he said birth, old age, sickness and death is suffering. Then separation from our loved ones, prized possession and things that we hold on to dearly is also suffering. Then when you are with people whom you don't like, difficult people, suffering will also arise. Then number seven is when you cannot get what you want, when your expectations in life are not met, when things don't go your way. Again, normal living beings that don't have the Dhamma will experience suffering. Then number eight, in short, here Xuanhua they all translate as the suffering induced by the raging blaze of the five skandhas. The actual translation is slightly out. It's the suffering born of the final summary of the first noble truth that the Buddha has proclaimed. He said, in short, it is due to one's sakayadity or self-delusion that condition wants to grasp at our five aggregates of form and mind. And that five grasping aggregate is the cause of arising of suffering. So upadana khandhas. Upadana means grasping. Khandhas means the five aggregate of form and mind. So as a human being, the first aspect of it is we have a physical body. That is the form aggregate. So you attach, grasp and cling on to this form aggregate, you suffer. The reason being, like the Buddha explained, this body of ours is made up of only the four elements, and they go the way of nature. It's not a permanent, unchanging entity where you can cling on to, grasp on to, hold on to, and maintain that this is me, this is I. Therefore, it can own things, have things. There is no such thing. The other aspect is, when we believe this physical body belongs to us, and it is what we are, then we will have problem. We will worry about it getting old, getting sick, and finally die. It's just like what the Buddha saw, the four signs, before he left the palace to seek the answer to all these realities of life and existence. He said, as a human being, if I finally can get old, become very sick, and finally die, then life has no meaning. He has got no answer to old age, sickness and death. And as we go through life, we experience them. We experience and understand the reality of this physical form. As we age, it will give us a lot of problems. Our senses will fail us. Then it will develop disease, sickness, and finally it will break down, triggering off what they call death. Yeah. Then as one age, one become like more susceptible to injury, to disease, to sickness. Yeah. And at times, when condition is such, it can be very, very difficult. That's why it is called the suffering of the grasping aggregate. So apart from the physical form, we also have a mind where we can identify the other four aggregates of mind. Well, as a human being, this conscious mind of ours, or the consciousness that is trapped inside since birth, this one has the ability to become conscious. Consciousness is an aggregate. That's why it can make us become conscious of what we see, what we hear, what we smell, what we taste, what we tactile feel and think. Then we can also feel hot or cold, pleasant or unpleasant. Whatever tactile sense experience, we can feel them. So the aggregate of feeling or vedana is there. Then we can also have the ability to perceive things through our senses. We can perceive what we see, what we hear, what we smell, what we taste, what we tactile feel and think. Then apart from feeling, perception and consciousness, we also can develop what we call mental intention, mental volition, and also mental states when we react to sense experience, when we become emotional, angry, unhappy. So these are the four aggregates of mind. Together with the physical form, we comprise a human being with the five aggregates. Yeah, call it come. So this five aggregate, like the physical form, if you attach to it, you will grasp onto it and cling onto it to arise what we call unnecessary suffering or misery. Yeah. When you attach to feeling, it's the same. Normally, human beings are attracted to pleasant feeling. They don't like unpleasant feeling or negative feeling. Yeah. So pleasant feeling is a preference by the individual. So you attach to pleasant feeling, like all feeling, it will change, it will transform. When it transforms, what happens? It becomes unpleasant. So the duality manifests. Whatever that is pleasant is a prelude to suffering because it will change and become unpleasant. Yeah. So similarly, if you attach and cling and cross on to perception, then you give meaning. Whatever you perceive, you tend to take side. You like this type of perception, you don't like that type of perception. Then when you perceive, you identify. When we identify, we cling, we grasp, we hold, believing that that perception is real. That is what you perceive, and that is what the reality is. So this apparent reality that we cling onto without wisdom and understanding will condition suffering, because it is condition arising, causal phenomenon, dependent originating. It's not a permanent unchanging entity that you can cling onto, hold onto, and say, this is me, this is I, therefore all this can be mine. No way. So the five aggregates, they are the same. Apart from perception, is our mental emotion. We believe that is what we are, then we think we have anger, we think we have craving, we think we have all the selfishness, whatever. So all this, fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, lamentation, they will afflict us. They will continue to create what they call delusion in us, lure us, and entice us to cling to grubs. So similarly, when we become conscious, the phenomenal world of consciousness become real, and we are attracted to it. That's how grasping to the five aggregate of form and mind conditions suffering. So this five aggregate, we must see clearly. We must, through the direct seeing, observe clearly its universal characteristic. They come and they go, they arise and they pass away. That's why it has a universal characteristic of impermanent. When they come and they go, you didn't die. So how can they be you? They are not intrinsic within our nature. They are dependent originating entity. Dependent originating condition arising causal phenomena. That's why it is not what you think. If the physical body is not you, the feeling that manifests is not you, perception that manifests is not you, and also all the mind state, thought activity, including the consciousness that arises and passes away. Every moment of consciousness is different. It arises, then it passes away. But you didn't die. So how can consciousness be you? Then the question that arises, if all these five aggregates of form and mind are not you, then who are you? What are you? Then how did they arise in you? That one is a very good inquiry, or what we call inquiry that can give rise to wisdom, to let living being develop the clear understanding of who we are, what we are. Is there anything else beyond the five aggregates? If the five aggregate is non-self, empty, not a permanent unchanging entity, therefore definitely not you, then who are you? What are you? That's why you must meditate. develop the pure awareness within, to have the clear understanding. Then you realize there is a nature within each and every one of us, living being. There is the deathless element that was there before we arise. There is the primordial mind, our true mind. And that one is not a being. It cannot come out and live life. But it's just a pure awareness nature. A nature that is there all the while. That's why the first thing to arise from our Buddha nature or the source, the original nature, is that pure awareness nature. Yeah. And that one is the one that can enable you to insight in the phenomena, awaken and develop the wisdom and the enlightenment. And that one, once you know how to use it, then you become beautiful. That's why we develop all this awareness-based meditation, is to realize that nature within, the awareness nature. Once you are aware of that nature is very, very beautiful, very amazingly beautiful. Yeah. From there, all things arise. From there, all understanding arise. All manifestation arise. So realizing that, illuminating that nature is very important. And some call it the Bodhi mind, that nature within. So with that, hopefully you can understand why the five aggregates of grasping are dukkha. Okay, then we move on. So Shen Hua Wan, he just mentioned them, but he didn't go into the detail of the five aggregates. Okay, the second aspect of the five aggregates of form and mind is more important. Just I explained the first aspect as a human being. And since it's dependent originating condition arising cause of phenomena, it can never be you. It's not a permanent unchanging entity. Yeah. But then, the mind itself has the four aggregates of the four aggregates of the mental part, the feeling, perception, sankhara, mind states or mental intention, and finally consciousness. But the moment we perceive, the perception aggregate can bring in the external form. That's why that perception that brings in the external form trigger the five aggregate of form and mind, which is the second aspect, the mental five aggregate. So when we become conscious, the four aggregate of mind already there. But the perception brings in the mental aggregate. That's why again you have the five aggregate of form and mind. There's a reason why the Buddha, under the Paticca-samuppada, he actually proclaimed the dwelling of Paticca-samuppada in such a manner. He said, dependent on ignorant avijja, you create sankhara activity. Avijja paccaya sankhara. Yeah. One thing to know, one thing to experience, we think. So thinking is going to the brain, the memory there, to retrieve information. That's why that contact, yeah, like the physics experiment, trigger mental consciousness. Yeah. So avijja paccaya sankhara, that thinking that make contact with the brain, yeah, that it trigger of the mind consciousness. That's why the third link is vijnana. Avijja paccaya sankhara, sankhara paccaya vijnana. At that stage, it's just the pure consciousness without its content. The content of consciousness hasn't gone in. The aggregates of mind hasn't gone in. Then when we perceive and recall to memory, then the content goes in. When the content goes in, we have the five aggregate of form and mind. That's why vijñānaṁ paccaya namarūpa or namarūpa. That vijñānaṁ consciousness become the five aggregate of forming mind, which is the namarūpa. But this is the second aspect. It become a thought. Yeah. Then, dependent on this, there must be sense basis salayatana. That's why namarūpa paccaya salayatana. Then the rest of the link are easy to comprehend and understand. With the sense basis, you need to have contact for consciousness to arise, for feeling to arise, for the link to continue and manifest. So this sequence, if you are mindful, aware, you can see clearly. Then you can understand how you function as a human, then you become different. You suddenly understand clearly who you are, what you are, and how you function as a human being. Then when you start to see all these dependent originating entity or phenomena, then you realize, he no you, he no me. There is no being inside there. Everything is a dependent originating condition arising cause of phenomena. Dependent on condition, it manifests and it arises. Then after that, when condition ceases to be, it ceases to be. And everything within the phenomenal world of consciousness is the same, behave with the same unique characteristics of impermanent. Following the nature's law, it manifests. The pancha niyama, uttu niyama, bija niyama, kama niyama, citta niyama, and finally dhamma niyama. So this pancha niyama, the five universal order, are the nature's law that governs life and existence. So if everything within the conditioned world are conditioned arising phenomena following this law, then what will happen is it will manifest a second universal characteristics of suffering. When you wanting your way, which is not nature's way, then you suffer. That's why the Buddha say, whatever arise, there are causes and conditions behind, already set by the nature's law. It cannot be otherwise. You cannot accept what is the reality, then you suffer. Where you attach, you cling, you grasp. You want things your way, which is not nature's way. And since everything is dependent originating condition arising, it's not a permanent unchanging entity. And you cannot deludedly cling onto it, grasp onto it, say, this is me, this is I, therefore all this can be mine. No such thing. That's why it is anatta, non-self, not a permanent unchanging entity. And because it's impermanent, it come and go, following nature's law, it's just like mighty nature rolling by, then why do you deludedly grasp and cling? If it's just mighty nature rolling by, then you realize everything is just the way it is, following nature's law. Condition arising, dependent originating, he know you, he know me. No mark of self, no mark of other, no mark of anything. That's why it's empty nature of existence. Existence is not what you think. Towards the end, it's empty at the core of it. No reality. Yeah. But there is such thing as life, existence. Because within the conditioned world, it has its conditioned dhamma that manifests in accordance. That's why we have law of karma. We have the illusion of a living being. Then we have what we call the duality that create all of the manifestation in existence. Then without the Dhamma understanding, suffering will arise. That's why the First Noble Truth Reality, they are very powerful. And the Buddha awakened to this Four Noble Truths is very unique, because these are the Noble Truths that make us Noble One. And Noble One during the time of the Buddha are enlightened beings. And they are very noble in all aspects of life and understanding. That's why, unless you have this realization of the Four Noble Truths, you can never call yourself an enlightened being. Because these are like the secret of life. First Noble Truth explained to us the reality of life and existence. If you live life long enough, you will confront this eight reality which encompasses all of life within the mundane aspect. Then after that, the Buddha continued to proclaim the second noble truth. He said, all suffering that arise due to the eight conditions manifested by the first noble truth reality, they are attachment born of craving. So if you know what suffering is and you know the cause of its arising, which is craving born of self-delusion, then you understand life, you know how to live life, you will not be deluded by what the phenomenal world or the conditioned world has created for you or manifested for you. And once you understand that, then you can mitigate whatever that you need to mitigate, so that you do not deludedly fall into the delusion of grasping, clinging, attachment, leading to suffering. Then the third noble truth, the Buddha continued. He said, knowing the first two noble truths, you can also develop the wisdom to transcend it. He said, suffering need not be, where there is a third noble truth that proclaims enlightenment in the here and the now. Nibbana can be realized. Yeah. So that one is very important. If suffering need not be, then I can meditate, develop the wisdom to awaken, then I can live life beautifully, meaningfully, without having to entangle myself. You can live life without suffering. Life can be very meaningful, beautiful, and wonderful. Then how to realize the enlightenment? The Buddha continued to proclaim the fourth noble truth, where he realized it. That's why he said, under the fourth noble truth, you have to cultivate this noble eightfold path. That is the meditation as discovered by the Buddha. He said, it will lead to the end of all suffering. So our purpose to develop the enlightenment is to end all suffering. And the fourth noble truth clearly proclaims it. So whatever meditation one may do, if it doesn't bring you back to the cultivation of this four noble truth, then it's not the meditation as taught by the Buddha. Yeah. And within the Four Noble Truths, of course, there is the Noble Eightfold Path. And that is the real meditation as taught by the Buddha. Well, if you cannot cultivate Noble Eightfold Path until you have the embodiment of all these Noble Path factors of right view or right understanding, leading to right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood, then the four right effort, Samasati and Samasamadhi, then you cannot free your mind, you cannot liberate your mind. Then it is not the meditation as taught by the Buddha. Well, all enlightened beings have these noble qualities, the noble eightfold path factors. So the whole teaching, they are connected, they are linked. And from these four noble truths, they are called noble truths. If you awaken to it, you can become noble ones. Yeah. And noble ones are enlightened ones. So that's why it's called noble truth, not special truth or universal truth or whatever. It's noble truth, truth that can enlighten being. The moment you realize it, awaken to it, you can become enlightened. You can become noble ones. So that is the teaching. Then from this teaching, I call it the secret of life. When you understand that, you understand all of life, both the mundane and the supramundane. Then when you cultivate it, following the advice of the Buddha, developing the three turning to arise the three type of corresponding wisdom, which is Sutamaya Panya, Chintamaya Panya, and Bhavanamaya Panya, then the enlightenment in the here and the now become possible, and it's so beautiful. That's why our this Buddhist teaching, the Dhamma as taught by the Buddha, they are very unique, very special. So hopefully with all this explanation and summary, you can develop the clear understanding of this profound teaching as taught by the Buddha. Okay, we go back to the notes. Okay, after that we have these four types of beings. According to the Buddha, the 31 plane of existence, which we call samsara, they can come about through these four types of birth. The first type is beings born from the womb, like our species, the human race. Our mother or the mother, after they become pregnant upon conception, they will deliver the baby after 9 or 10 months, depending on the situation, to the womb. That's why we are called mammal, womb born. Likewise, the cat, the animals, they also born through the womb. But the chicken, they are born from the egg. You realize? The duck, they are born from the egg. The fishes, they are born from the egg. Then some are born from moisture. That one is more, what I should say, the lower type of beings, not the sophisticated one. So from moisture, they take birth. Then beings born via metamorphosis. This one I think you all know, like butterfly and all those things, from lava, all those things. So, according to Xuanhua's commentary, each type of beings, they have their own suffering. However, a creature born from womb knows only the suffering of that form of birth and knows nothing of the pain involved in birth by egg, by moisture, or metamorphosis. If you become one of those kind of beings, you will know the suffering that class of beings undergo. So this one is explaining to you samsara. Unless you are born from that category of birth, you can never understand what they go through, the suffering that come with birth. That's why the Buddha say birth is suffering. In our current life, we have not experienced the other form of birth. So why are we talking about their suffering? The Buddha, in his great wisdom, has clearly pointed out the path of practice for us. And that's why we understand that the four types of beings and the four elements are all subject to the eight kinds of suffering. So this is just a summary of what the Buddha wants to let you know. The four types of beings that come from the four types of birth. And all these birth, they are They normally have a physical form that has the four elements. Then, like we say, the first noble truth reality, each and every living being, if you live life long enough, you have to confront them. So these eight kinds of suffering, they are what we call common to all beings. Yeah. It is a universal truth. This reality, if you live life long enough, you will confront them. Yeah. And these are common reality. Not only you confront and suffer, every living being that come into existence, they have to confront them. That's why here Shenhua mentioned, these four types of beings and the four elements, they are all subject to the eight kinds of suffering of the first noble truth reality. So these are common reality that each and every living being, if you live long enough, you have to confront. So the question is, the inquiry that one must make is, if these are common to all, then why did we deludedly grasp, cling, and entangle ourselves to develop the suffering unnecessarily? If we can have the Dhamma understanding, then we will not be deluded. Then we will not grasp and cling. Then we need not suffer. There is no more craving, no more attachment. Thing is just the way it is. Cannot be otherwise. We have to embrace reality. We have to embrace the conditioned world's law that governs life and existence. Then when we can come to terms with this reality and understanding and embrace all this, then suffering need not be. So this is how we can transcend life, to realize enlightenment in the here and the now. But to do all this, you need the mindfulness, the awareness within. That's why you must develop awareness-based meditation, to develop the ability to come into contact with our true mind, our silent mind, our inner awareness nature. Then develop the clear understanding not to be deluded by the phenomenal world of consciousness, by the mundane activity of our thought process or thinking mind. Okay, then I read on. Spreading throughout represent the eight kinds of suffering, pervading the four types of beings and the four elements. All at once represent the impermanence of these four types of beings, the four elements, and the eight kinds of suffering. The phrase can also mean that the eight kinds of suffering arise all at once, or it can mean that all beings experience the same suffering at the same time. In any event, they are all impermanent. So here, this is how Xuanhua phrased it, based on his explanation and understanding. But the truth of it, the reality of this noble truth is, it has a lot to do with the first noble truth understanding. So when we live life long enough, when we confront all this eight reality, it not necessarily one shot all this manifest simultaneously. No. We have different time you encounter different reality. Then when you don't have the Dhamma understanding, you will grasp cling to delusion, sakyadity, and become afflicted. So take for example, when we are young. For us, birth, old age, sickness, and death is like not a reality at that time. Because you ain't got time to talk about birth, old age, sickness, and death. You just enter the phase of going through life. And everything is so cute, so naive. Yeah, and so what they call pristine, where you are still very, very innocent, very clean, very naive, and not contaminated yet, not entangled yet. Yeah. Then you also don't have much understanding or knowledge of what separation is, where you have people who look after you, care for you, sacrifice for you, and all these things. Then after that, when you are with people whom you don't like, of course you will start to experience them, especially those who have that karmic conditioning. Then you will have step parents or maid or sometimes your own parents who has a karmic conditioning too. They start to abuse you. Well, they hate what happened. And they say, why must we be born and cause me so much suffering and torment me and all those things. And sometimes the maid, out of frustration, they also throw their whatever unhappiness on the kid, on the child. They take revenge. But all these are karmic. But not all are born with that type of karma. There are some very blessed. They are born into a rich family or wealthy family that can cater for them, cook for them, and they have good life. They have good parents that love them, care for them. Like our last session sharing, the Sunday, we have the karmic obstacle, you remember? Retribution karmic obstacle. Then we have the activity karmic obstacle. Then finally we have the affliction karmic obstacle. So all this, they are following nature's law of karma niyama. They will manifest accordingly. That's why the Buddha said, the fifth daily contemplation, we have to contemplate. We are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned, supported by our karma. We are what we are because of karma. So if that is the case, karma plays such a great role in all of our lives, each and every one of us. That's why we need to take care of karma. We are following the advice of the Buddha. Otherwise, you will suffer. You will go through a lot of entanglement in life. Where we are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. And we are what we are every moment, every instant, because of our karmic nature, our karmic inheritance. So all this become very clear. Then we will have the right view and right understanding to go all out to take care of karma. We are following the advice of the Buddha. Sabba papasa akaranang kusalesa upasabbadan sacitta pariyuddhapanang etang buddhana sasana. Dhammapada verse 183, the advice of all Buddha. So once we follow the advice of the Buddha and cultivate accordingly, then we walk the path of Dhamma. We have started to transform our life. We have started the spiritual path of awakening. And that will create a big difference to your life. Instead of falling into delusion and entangle yourself with all the karmic problems. Now you follow the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil, do good, and purify your mind to develop the wisdom to take care of yourself so that you need not suffer anymore. So that you have the good karma, good parami, no longer have to repay all those unnecessary karmic friction. That's why cultivation is very important. It can transform the individual. Your life in future, life after life. If you are a true cultivator of the way, especially if you take the Bodhisattva way, you become so beautiful, so different. Okay, we go back to the sharing, the notes. All at once means quite suddenly or immediately. Why does a sutta text say all at once? It is because all of a sudden a fire arose where there was no fire before. Fire represents suffering. This is a good analogy. When it burns and torments you, you suffer. So the suffering originally did not exist, but because of ignorance, various forms of suffering arose. Ignorance is the worst thing of all. Fire breakout refers to the flaring up of the fire of ignorance. Once the fire of ignorance arises, one becomes irrational, lack of wisdom, and consequently does not understand anything at all. With ignorance, one cannot have a clear mind, which leads to foolishness or heedlessness and suffering. One could also see the fires of the five grasping aggregate, means form of rupang, then sense perception, sanya, cognition, which is actually it should be feeling. Form, feeling, cognition, or what we call the mental formation. Oh, sorry, the perception and cognition is the same. That sense should be feeling. They translate it wrongly. Sense, perception, and cognition is the same aggregate. Then mental formation is, of course, sankhara. Then consciousness. Then these five aggregates are like fire. When you don't have the Dhamma understanding, the wisdom, they become grasping aggregate. You will grasp, cling, and hold on to them, and you will suffer. So a fire breaks out, spreading throughout the house and setting it ablaze. Refer to the fire of the five skandhas, burning up our body. The house represents the body. The five skandhas dwell within the body, as if they were housed by it. When they ignite and become the five kinds of fire, they could burn down the house. The fire can also be said to be our emotion, our temper, our anger. It is said, a tiger-like spirit and delusions, please, spring from the roots of offenses, with karmic offenses in former lives. Lives, former lives day, a life's day. The fire of delusion are as fierce as a tiger. They are caused by our karmic offenses in previous life. In previous life, one created too much karmic offenses and was left with no merits and virtue. That's how one ends up having a bad temper in this life. These are evil root of all evil, make you evil. That's why the three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, they will manifest. Then the other thing about this fire, like spontaneously they just flare up and burn. When you don't have the Dhamma understanding, when there is no yoniso manasikara to prompt you, you really, the five aggregate all, you will cling onto them, grasp onto them, and you suffer tremendously. Because karma is like that. If you are a cultivator with the awareness of sati and you are sensitive, you can see. Well, when I was young, I saw. That's why I know how to advise you all. Whatever happens, don't get angry. Don't become fearful. Don't panic. Because when you react to all this, means you attach to the aggregates. You cling on to the pleasant feeling, the good feeling, whatever that trigger suffering, unpleasant feeling, you reject. That's why when they burn the karmic, what they call repercussion, when they take effect, living beings get themselves more and more entangled. Well, once the karmic hit, they become angry, it's an evil root. Then they create more and more causes and conditions for negative karma to come and hit you. Then when you panic, when you develop all the fear, the worry, the anxiety, the hatred, the unhappiness, you become miserable. And because of those mind states that are all negative mind states, it actually weakens your immune system and cause you not only intense mental suffering, but it drags your entire, what they call, life force into it. That's why that life force, instead of using it to purify your nature, to actually develop the awareness nature within, to develop the wisdom and the realization, instead you draw upon it and become so negative in your emotion. That's why all of your anger, hatred, fear, worry, anxiety, they are very strong karmic energy. And all this mental energy, which are very negative, they create a lot of suffering and misery. Yeah. And living beings who don't have the mindfulness, wisdom, Dhamma understanding, cannot see. You get entangled. Yeah. Then all your aggregate become grasping. Yeah. All of your feeling, you become like agitated inside. There is no peace. You are seldom with your pure awareness nature, your true mind. That's why there is no clarity. You become like restless, fearful, panic, worry, anxiety. All these are negative mind state that condition suffering. That's why they like simultaneously grasp you and cause misery and suffering to you. And these are causes and conditions for more and more negative coming to come. That's why normally when people suffer, they realize they become like very sui. It's not you sui, it's the karmic process. That's why a lot of people cannot understand. The karmic consciousness, once they manifest, the living being got no control. Unless you have the Dhamma. Unless you have the pure awareness nature and the understanding, the Unisoma Niskara, you cannot stop. That thing will continue to grasp you, cling, condition you to grasp and cling, and trigger more and more mental suffering until you cannot take it anymore. Then you may have suicidal thought, collapse, and all those things. Then for some, you have some form of slightly good karmic past, that you help people who go through suffering to come out from it before. And then that karmic conditioning will actually manifest for you to meet up with people who can help you. Yeah. Or you will encounter people who can like create the causes and conditions for you to meet up with cultivator of the way. They have the understanding to help you. Or sometimes in the previous karmic process, let's say when you confront disease, sickness, or old age, birth, old age, sickness. Sickness is disease, injury, or the same. So when you confront them, especially those that need medical attention. So you have been kind before. Maybe you have been a doctor or nurse, or you attend to people and all those things. Then the karmic process will come in and manifest in such a way that you will meet people who will help you. You reap what you sow. So you, instead of the negative karma, you become the victim and you suffer. But the positive karma, the conditioning, they will manifest for you to meet up with the appropriate medical people, the good doctor or good TCM practitioner, or even people who can nurse you very well or dress you very well. So all this is the karmic process. So taking care of karma is very important if you understand this. So you can develop all this clear understanding to follow the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil, do good. Then you take care of karma. Then you will have the good life. That's why without following the advice of the Buddha to develop all this understanding of the law of karma, means the first two advice, all evil has to be avoided to avoid the karmic negativity, karmic process that will condition suffering in future. Then after that, whatever wholesomeness, cultivate, develop them. Yeah. And this will be your merit, your parami, your whatever virtue that will protect you in the future, that will come and save you. Yeah. Then you can make use of it, evoke power, merit, virtue for causes and conditions for you to turn around and develop all the good life, yeah, or help people in whatever way. Then the third advice is purify your mind. Develop the meditative understanding to awaken, to realize the Dhamma wisdom. Now that one is very useful. Well, without that one, you cannot be free from entanglement, suffering. Dhamma understanding is the only thing that can free you. That's why only wisdom or prajna or panya can free. Nothing else. Not all the fantastic psychic meditation or fantastic meditative experience. They are of not much use. Maybe you feel good after you attain it. If you are not careful, you become egoic. But the most important one is to develop wisdom. That's why when you develop wisdom, it's like you have nothing. Because compared to the psychic one, huh, a lot of things to show, a lot of fantastic manifestation, or what they call achievement. But they cannot help you liberate your mind, free your mind. And they cannot bring about understanding to help you understand life, live life. So all this is what the teaching is all about. Okay, I will read on, then we will have to end somewhere already. The fire of delusion are as fierce as a tiger. They are caused by our offenses in past life or previous life. In previous life, one created too many offenses and are left with no merits and virtue. That's how one end up having a bad temper in this. This is Xuanhua's explanation, which is also quite good. Then a bad temper is both the worst and the best. How can it simultaneously be both the worst and the best? No matter what it is in this world, within the good, there is the bad. That's what duality is. And within the bad, there is the good. Things become good bit by bit, and they go bad bit by bit as well. You believe in this, huh? I think it's the other way around. Huh? To develop goodness, very difficult, take a long time. But to learn the bad thing, the negative thing, very fast. Zhong mei tai jiao xin hao wai, the famous Cantonese saying. Before you even grow up, you develop all the bad habits very fast. Things become good bit by bit, and they go bad bit by bit as well. This is what Xuanhua said. In what sense is anger the worst? After you lose your temper, you will feel discomfort and unease throughout your body and suffer tremendous pain. Wouldn't you say that is the worst thing for the body? In what sense is anger the very best thing? Once you have lost your temper and realize it is painful, you will know that you should not lose your temper anymore. Thus, you get rid of your temper and you have no more fire of ignorance or tiger-like spirit. They are gone because you have awakened by realizing that temper is not a good thing. It's like slapping yourself. Instead of being slapped by others, you slap yourself, which only leaves you in pain and suffering. When you awaken to the pain, you will stop acting so foolishly. Isn't that the best? You have escaped from what is not good. It is said a hero can enter the enemies. Oh, sorry, can enter and escape enemy formation at will. So when you know how to transcend duality, then you got no problem. But the main thing about anger emotion is, especially when we were young, we don't understand. So at times, we get angry, we become emotional. Yeah. But for me, it is like very funny. I have good control over my emotion, even when I'm young. I can be like, the condition within existence can actually manifest until most people get angry until you cannot control already. But I can have good control over you. I know what is happening. Then I realize this thing is really burning you and killing you. But of course that anger is a force. When you get angry, you can become very violent. You can burst into one. Then you can do the wrong thing. That's why you can kill, you can harm, and you can cause a lot of suffering. And all this has coming on. Then when I was young, I remember, I had full control, and I know I cannot do it. And after that, I just slow it down. Remember the story I told you? My father, he was bullied by one young guy. That time I got one younger brother, younger son. I think you know a small kampong, they go out and play. Then he got a misunderstanding and I think they quarrel over small thing. Both also like my brother's age. Then what happened is the elder brother of the guy that quarrel with him was nearby, you know. And I also nearby, you know. But I very small. I only bigger than my younger brother a little bit. That guy was easily 10 years older, big fellow, and energy deal. He came and he whacked my brother. Until my brother cried, of course, went back to my shop. My father saw. So my father became very angry. He said, "What type of guy is this going? Whacked my father's son, which is my brother, until like that." Then when he came to know that he was the big brother, the big son, my father was very angry. He took that chopper, want to confront him. But that time, very funny, I was only 7, 8 years old nearly. Then I saw that whole scenario. Then I know I cannot do anything, I'm small size. But finally, my father also lucky, because people came and what they say, mediate and ask my father, don't, they say, this guy too strong for you. My father at that time also not that young, I think 40 plus, the fellow is 20 like that, you know. So finally my father came back to now, very funny, you know. I make a vow. The vow very strong. I vow to take revenge when I grow up. But very funny, when I make that thing. It's like adhidhana, you know, like our cultivation, adhidhana. And very powerful, you know. And I know it can manifest. But very funny, you know, after 1989, once I had the Dhamma, the whole thing like melt away. You know. There's no more meaning. It affected me was because my father. My father was a very nice father. I never do that one. But because of what happened, all this, that's why I look back, I knew it's coming. And I know that guy will suffer without me taking action or doing anything. So that adhidhana, no use. That's why I know anger can spur good and bad. You adhidhana was the wrong one. It go the wrong way. But because I have the Dhamma, that's why when it manifests until like that, it cannot carry through. You know? The moment I connect back in 1989, when I realized back the understanding that I had, that whole thing melt away. Completely melt away. Because no more meaning. You see it very clear. That's why wisdom free. Wisdom is really powerful. Nothing else. Then you don't have to fight over things. Okay? Okay, go back to the thing. I had to end it. Almost 10 o'clock already. Okay, the last paragraph. You can fight your way out of the enemy formation. That one is Jian Huan. You are a hero. Means you cannot get into trouble. Although the fire and ignorance are fierce, you can escape from them. You are a hero of Buddhism. Means you can see clearly that they are not what you think. So the delusion no more. Okay. Okay, I will stop here. Then I will mark this page. Okay, we are at page 601. Okay, now second session, meditation, reporting, and question and answer, or any Dhamma sharing, Dhamma in daily life.
Hello, Brother Teo.
Yeah, Sadhu.
Mrs. Teo.
Yeah.
And brother and sister in Dhamma.
Sadhu.
It's good to be back here.
Yeah.
And what I feel like sharing is a little bit of the my experience.
That is really good.
So it's a little bit more on the noble truth number one.
Yeah, sadhu.
Which is old age and sickness.
Yeah.
So this one is sharing of my observation and my time with my parents.
Very, very good, sadhu.
So my parents, both of them are in their 80s.
Yeah.
So my dad is 80 and my mom is 82.
Oh.
So this year they have aged a lot.
Yeah.
And their health has deteriorated quite fast.
Yeah.
So my dad has a backbone problem, which is on L4, L5.
Normal, L3, very L2. Normal. A lot of people, much younger also got it. My classmate, actually 60 plus, already operate 3 times already.
So to the point, he went to do the X-ray MRI. So in between the bones, they are touching each other.
Yeah.
Which touch the nerve.
Correct, very painful. So
it is to a point that it is very painful. My dad can take pain.
Yeah.
He can take a lot of pain. But this is the first time I see him really saying it's painful.
And
he cannot walk from maybe one end of the house to the other end right now.
Without
certain help.
Yes.
So seeing him is, it's pain on his body.
Yeah.
But it hurts in my heart.
Yeah, definitely.
So when you were sharing on the noble truth.
Yeah, first noble truth, reality.
Yeah. So of course it's also emotional.
Yeah.
But I think the Dhamma helps me to understand a few things.
That one is very helpful. Because if you have not developed the understanding of the Dhamma, you will not appreciate life. You will not see all this one. That all this philosophy thing that can actually give rise to more understanding to us, you cannot see it. Like what Colin is going to share is very good. Well, during the early days, I also went through life. Then I was not able to observe how old people suffer until much later. Whereas my grandmother was very lucky, I think good karma. She got very good life. She died a natural death. I don't see her suffer because she home here. She no need to work. My mother do all the work. And she go about doing what she like to do. Then she very fair on her complexion, everything. And she good life. And because of that, I seldom see much thing about old age sickness. Of course, death, I saw. Before he passed away, very funny. He passed away that time at the age of 78. During that time, it was considered long life already. Yeah? The mortality rate was much younger one at that time. Well, his generation is, he was born in the year 18 something. So that time, when he passed away, I was in Form 6, I remember. He very strange, you know. He know when he's going to die. And he prepare all the things and inform my mother. All this, he say, when the time come, give to who, give to who, give to who. And all. And she got the one thing that she did, like a thread like that one. Exactly the age of her. You know. And she know. And how she died as a natural death, I witness it very clearly. You know. That's why I can understand. You know. He told my mother, before he died that day, he said he want to see me. My mother got 9 children. He want to see me. You know. And according to my mother at that time, he almost like going to die, really, the last breath, any time. Really. Then I was still in the school that day. So my mother purposely asked my brother to inform me. I was in the Alastair town. Immediately come home from school, go home. Because my mom gave the instruction. So I cycled back where I knew important. So when I reached home, my mother came and held my hand and said, come, come, come. He said, your granny wants to meet you. Very strange, you know. He took me there. Then I saw my grandmother, serene, with a very calm face, like smile like that. Then my mother held my hand and passed it to her now. He said, my second son is here. He said, yeah. And you know what happened? He held my hand. Then the last breath. Then he go, no, but smiling. That's how I witnessed the whole thing. Then I thought everybody is like that. But later on, I know a lot of people suffer. That's why I say my grandmother very blessed. He hold me out. So all this is for you to see. Then I start understanding all this after 89. After 1989, when it connect, all my past came back. You know. Then that time I very observant. You know. All the people or whatever, my mom or what, but my mother quite healthy, my father also quite healthy. Then I only saw them, my father is diabetic. Then at one stage he become very thin, no? He lost a lot of weight, no? Because of diabetic and all those things. But despite the diabetic, he lived until 80. No? His organ very strong, surprisingly, good. Then my mother lived until almost 90, 89. So those were the things. Then my mother is Fong Sap. I saw a lot of Fong Sap thing. He complained and she put the ginger, all those things my wife also saw. So those were the things I saw. Then I saw my mother heart attack. He was staying with me, perspiring, all those things. That's why all this is like meant to be. Then when my time come, I don't have those symptoms, no. Perspiring, sharp pain, nothing. No. My heart attack is just, I felt like something eerie finished. So different condition let you see different things. So for your case, Kok Loon, is good because you are still young, 50, coming to 50 odd.
47.
47, still young. And you start to have the Dhamma to see all this, which is very good. I started seeing it 35. But I don't have much time. Yeah. My parents, of course, my mother, the heart attack only. Then my father is diabetic, not that serious. But they don't have back pain and all those things. Or no. That's the only difference. So for your case, maybe you continue. Let you share.
So lately, I also have a little bit of backache, but it's very minor. This is due to sometimes the
work office.
So the sensation is like a little bit, sometimes it stirs the mind.
Yeah.
Then when I see my dad, he's 80. He's double my age.
Yes.
So whatever he's going through, is at least 5 to 10 times. And he is
more
continuously.
Intense. Yeah, continuously.
To him, it's like permanent.
Because that thing at the back, I was told, very painful. That classmate cannot arise. He's like bedridden. A very successful fellow, with financially very well. You know what he told us or not, when we visited him and he said, you understand? Like a dead person. He said, you become completely useless. He said, all your money no use. He said, you cannot move. He said, so malu. He said, go toilet also cannot. Need assistance, all those things. Then he somehow say, of course he got to go through the karma. The daughter wedding, the date all fixed already. He's still on wheelchair. We witness him go ahead. That ceremony on wheelchair. Then later on, he went for operation. Karmic. The first two operation was not successful. Only the third operation only successful. But after he recovered, he very happy. And now for the last 5-6 years, I think he very happy. But when he kena, just like what you saw, like your father, it's like lifetime in this condition. No point living, actually. Because very severe. That's why old age sickness, and I think Song also go through, saw the mother. Not easy, the mother fell and all those things, and with the operation. But don't worry, because these are realities of life and existence. And when you have the Dhamma, you know how to do your part, your filial piety or whatever. This is the inheritance that you will receive. Then in life, you reap what you sow. You don't worry when your turn comes, because people help you. Even you not married, no children, don't worry. I got people. So all this is meant to be, will be. Okay, continue, Colin.
He is diabetic, he has cholesterol, and a bit of blood pressure.
He
has to take a lot of medicine. And because of so much medicine, it induces gastric come out.
Correct.
Doctor give him some more medicine. And when he see this doctor, he has backache, he give him another medicine to relax.
Muscle relaxation.
So every day he has to take 20 pills. So I was thinking, last time people tell me, if you don't eat your food as medicine, you have to eat medicine as your food. I suddenly realized, this is what you have to go through. 20 pills a day. So I understand this observation. Number one is karma.
It's all karma. Related.
I also have my karma. And then we as a family also karma. And we orbit around each other. And the second thing is noble truth. Aging and newness is part of life.
Part of life. These are reality that everybody got to confront on.
And this is something he has to walk his journey. The only thing I can do is, of course, assist, help him.
Help him.
I pray for him.
Very
and also
important.
Ask for forgiveness on his behalf. Him. And whatever merits that he has gained.
He has gained through his duty as a father.
So I hope that he meet the right doctor.
Yeah.
So that he can get good help.
Yeah, good help. Huh.
So
in fact, my classmate finally got a one in Sunway. He is specialized in L4, L5. I forgot the name. I can ask him for the name. Then I pass to you. That doctor is very good. He finally, it happened, he from Penang. He is Chong Ling School. So the doctor is his senior, about 5 or 6 years his senior. Then he heard people say, hey, our own Chong Ling prof, actually is a specialist. He specialized in that one. He said, you must go and see him. So finally he got the number, he called him. That time that surgeon was in overseas, he said, I will only be back in another 4 or 5 days time. Then he said, okay, I will come and see you immediately when I'm back. So after he came back, he went and see him. Then he saw his x-ray, everything, and the medical record, just same Sunway Hospital. He did not say anything. He told my classmate, he said, no comment, he said. But if you want me to do, this is chicken feet, is it? Bread and butter, is it? Every day I do. He had been operating more than 1,000 cases, all came out beautifully. So he said, but you need to discharge the two specialist doctors before he can take over. We are same hospital. So my classmate tell him, no problem. He said, I will settle that. When can you give me the appointment? He said, okay, tomorrow you come to my clinic. So immediately after that, third operation, only he recovered. Because you must get the right one. But the first one, of course, couldn't, maybe you might listen to this. The first one, also very confident, but come out, cannot, be wholesale. Then after that, he said, maybe I need to call my colleague. He is in that field one, is it? Maybe he can have it. So the second one come. Oh, no problem. I specialize in this. Sure, count him, is it? The second operation come out, no improvement. No. Then you know what he said? Cannot be lah. He said, okay, I will sit here. I will monitor you. Then after that he said, ah yeah, I think I know already. He said, not that one. He said, should be the other one. Until my classmate, what type of doctor is it? He said, if you're an engineer like that, I'll die. The building collapsed. So finally, he contacted the other one. Then after that, he said, thank you so much. I have to discharge you all. I want to try the other one. And he recovered. So sometimes it's coming on. You have to go through that one. You have to go through that one. But after that, he recovered. Now he is enjoying lunch, dinner with us. He organized. He now appreciate life. Last time take life for granted. Only want to make money, meeting. Now, I say, we must gather more. Yeah, every time ask me to arrange dinner for the classmate. Every 2 months. Just now we go food tasting. So people change when they understand. Yeah, when they go through life, they see the reality. Despite all the money, what for, is it? Your health, money cannot buy. So what they went through is very good. Then last time when we gather, we all talk about politics and college day, university day. Now they are all about health. You kena this before, The kneecap replacement, a lot of them kena. So, like you mentioned, heart attack, high blood pressure, diabetic, stroke, quite common. And many pass away because of cancer. Cancer. Now, I got a lot of classmates pass away because of cancer. So all these are the reality. Very good. Continue.
So for him, I observe lately, he's very depressed.
Definitely.
Because
without the Dharma, you sure depressed.
Cannot walk and so he's very tough on him.
Then they appear like very useless.
Yes, especially as a fatherly
figure. Fatherly figure.
He's there to bring us up, take care of us. He don't want even to take a walking stick.
He's moving
a walking stick.
Correct.
So, he's like a lion.
Injured.
So, and lately I've been also very busy. Didn't have time. But luckily my brother brings him to see two specialists. I think there's another appointment second round to get the second opinion. So lately I told my senior project manager, I think next end of this month I need to take some leave to spend some time
with
my
father
to bring him at least see a doctor. So at least to also be with him. And also to speak to him. Because when the person starts to talk the same thing over
depressed
like a recorder,
depressed already.
Spiraling down lah. So this work is work lah. I think it's time to make an effort to spend time with my parents and also family lah. Whenever I can. Just make an effort to do that.
There is a physio opposite my house. First physio, the lady Eunice, she's good. You can bring your father, let him check. If she can help your father recover, then it's good. Then no need operation. My backache or gouting. Last time the meditative. Then my wife one and my daughter and Ben, I think they are follow up. She's really good. She touched. Last time I also had this type of pain on, Vincent. Whack until, Vincent one is really painful. But he very good. He's chat. And he said, here muscle very tense. Then here you need physio. Then he got five ways. He also got the cupping, the suction. Then the acupuncture. Then a lot of other things. She good. I found her very good. She can diagnose very fast and not expensive. The package, you can take 10, only about 800 something, I think. Oh, is it 1,000 something? I forgot. 1,000 plus a bit, but 10 sessions. And one session every 100 to 110. He sometimes throw in one or two sessions free. You remember ask for unit Thursday. Every Thursday she is there. Make appointment and let her check and see. If she can do, then no need operation, help a lot. Gumoy also go there. Gumoy 80 plus also, I think like your parents age. Gumoy also went to China, come back, cannot move. It's very painful, very good. Now much better already. You try lah, try lah.
Thank you very much. Maybe later I can get the contact from you.
Opposite only. I asked Sui to send to you. Ask Sui, first official, Eunice. You can make appointment through WhatsApp. You say refer by Mr. Teo. SS2, they know.
So coming back, I think my lesson learned is, I think the practicing of meditation is a very good practice.
Very good,
Especially it trains the mind. And also for me, to slowly find out who I am.
Understanding clearly who are you, what are you.
And not let it go spiral.
Into something else. That understanding can help you understand life and live life beautifully. And you know how to do your duty as a son and all those things. Then as a father, now your children also starting to grow up already. So that phase you go through is also a very beautiful phase. But normally before 60, you are good one, healthy.
So good,
they say 60 60, color, they say 60, normally there is a keep. You know what is a keep or not? You have to go through one. Means there is something concerning your health one. You have to go through. Like mine, it was the heart attack. I didn't know it was a heart attack until the ECG come out. Then they saw and they show me the elevated, the heartbeat, the angina they call it. So after I did the operation, I was okay. Then so far so good. Now 70 already. Then they say maybe 80 another one. Your father also consider already quite good, 80 plus. My father 80, exactly 80. Good, continue.
So I just want to pray for both of them. Mother also same. She's going through the same thing.
Oh,
but
it?
Differently. She's got a gallbladder.
Oh, gallbladder.
And then she's got a lot of heat.
Oh, okay.
And a lot of stuff. Both of them at home every day arguing with me. Little bit
sure
of thing I'll explore.
Sure. Once they get sick, their mind, I told you, the coming consciousness, you cannot control one. The coming consciousness, you cannot control one. And it will condition them into that type of behavior. That's why they say, you don't play a fool with karma.
Mom also same. I also invoke power marriage on behalf of she find peace.
Find peace.
And also... health I think that both things that I can see clearly is hope that they do not continue be in the delusion.
Correct.
And hopefully one day they can find their enlightenment.
Sahadu. Maybe not this life but in future, no problem. Because when you invoke power of merits for them on their behalf, then when you yourself have the Dhamma, you can help your parent. You can create causes and conditions for them to meet up with the Dhamma. Then give them the opportunity later on to become your parent again. Because even this life, you are a cultivator, they are your parent, they have a lot of wholesomeness and parami, provided they don't have the negative thought process to ill-treat you and favor your brother. I don't think that one is there. But if it's there, also never mind on, because this is what nature is all about.
So, and that also the same thing, at this stage, other little things is not important anymore. Last time I would say, why like this? You do that to this. It's not important.
You already understand already. Not important. You don't even want to argue with them, or you just want to give them the attention, the love, and the care.
And then to one point, he said, I need to use a lot of money.
I just tell him,
I will take care of you.
I
don't know how, but I just do it. I'll find a way. Don't worry, I say.
Yeah, don't have to worry. Well, nowadays, the good thing about the government hospital is, if let's say you already above 60, you admit them, especially the good hospital, UH or whatever, they treat you like government pensioner or no. The charges are very cheap. But if you can afford, then if they want to go private hospital, then no choice. But for me, because my sister is a government servant, so she also a nurse and she's in this medical field. So she recommend all the hospitals which are very good. When my mother had heart attack, it was UH, recovered completely. Then her gangrene also, her feet. I personally take care of her. That time I was working at MU. Then the Dr. Dalen, very good. The whole thumb, like gangrene, almost have to amputate already. That Dr. Dalen, very good. He said, Tio, you go and look for this script. If you can find, I guarantee your mother will recover. really I found the cream. I went to 12 pharmacy, cannot find. Got one I found. Then I asked you how many tube. He said two only. At first I got the intent to buy both. I said cannot. If somebody also looking for it, I buy one first. I said, can you place order? He said, this cream very good. So I bought, then I show it to the Dr. Dylan. He said, yeah, this is the one. Apply, within 1 week, my mother was laughing and smiling and thanking me. He said, so like, 很奇怪, you know, 很神奇, the toe here, one big hole underneath already, you know, almost drop off already, you know, the toe. He said the flesh came back now. Then he regained her toe. And she was really, she really so happy until she cannot believe what happened. Then next, after that, ask her to go hospital, she volunteer. Last time, I don't want to go on. Very stubborn. Until the heart attack sent her in. Then she come out, she become very different. She become very happy. He thought Chinese herb medicine only can heal. But when he saw that thing like magic, she really very happy. So all this is not a problem. Then, like I explained to you, my father went to HUKM. That time, just like your father, I think, the doctor, especially, all different field, all give antibiotic. That's why all the tablet, you say 20 or what, I think it's normal. It's not out of the ordinary. Until my father tell me, he said he want to be discharged. I say, why? He said, antibiotic, eat until he's scared. You know, everyone got effect on him, but he is a sensei, you know, he know. Then, later on, I asked my sister to get the doctor to do all the complete blood tests. The doctor came out. My sister told me, a lot of things failed. He said the heart, cardiac output, everything, the lung, everything. Most of them are 60-70% failed. So I say like that. I tell my the other brother, discharge. I say, ask father what he want. He say he want to go eat asam laksa. So wheelchair him, eat asam laksa. Then immediately discharge. The next day, come to my house, stay. Then he say he wants to go back Alastra. So I knew he prefer to be there just in case he need to pass away. So I say, okay. I will fetch you. So together with my sister, I drove him all the way back. Then after he reached Alastair, he was very happy. Then I reminded my dear other brother. I said he liked Adventist Hospital. Yes? When he was 34 years old, the hospital operation, he was saved there. Then he always tell me to donate there, the Adventist Hospital. So we make quite a bit of donation over there. So after that, surprisingly, the next morning, he was like back to his normal self, happy. Then my younger brother asked him, you remember Adventist Hospital? You want or not? We send you there. Surprisingly, he said yes. So we send him there to Penang, the Adventist Hospital. Then he in the hospital bed, he somehow can joke with my brother. He said, you must buy one bed like that, mechanical one, can go out, go down. He said, no need to walk around and all things. But the organ all failed. Then the Adventist hospital, that specially also regular, he said, get ready. He said, at the most 24 hour or 48 hour, get ready. And really. And before he died, he know, 他跟长发, my elder brother's elder son, he said, quick, call your father there. He said, I'm going to go already. So he called. That time I was still here. By the time I go back already, I took the flight back. I think they put in all the coffin, everything already. Then that time I remember Sui and my son. They both also followed us. That time he worked in Maxis, I remember. He saw the paper house. He commented, the digital ego SIM card. So all these are the thing that, oh, exceeded 10:30 already. Yeah. Hey, better end. Okay, Colin, anything else to add?
No, I just want to say thank you for sharing the Dharma, especially the Four Noble Truths. And I'd like to take this opportunity to wish all the brother and sister in Dharma here to have good health,
Be
well, happy, and find good doctors to help you recover as well.
Take care of karma. Karma take care of you.
Thank you.
Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let's share merit. Akasata Chabumata Devanaga Mahindika Punyang Tang Anamoditwa Chirang Rakantu Lokasasana Ita Wata Jamehi Sampadan Punya Sampadan Sabbe Deva Anamodantu Sabasampati Siddhya Idang Menya Tina Hotu Sukita Hontunya Tayo Idang me nyati na hotu sukita hontu nyateyo. Idang me nyati na hotu sukita hontu nyateyo. Devo asatu kalena sasa sampati heto cha. Vito bhavatu loko cha. Raja bhavatu dhamiko. Imina punyang kamina. Ame bala sama kamo, satang sama kamo hotu, yawa nivana patia, sadu, sadu, sadu. Okay, you all can pay respect mindfully to the Lord Buddha, Guanyin Bodhisattva, and all the worthy ones. There we end. Sadhu.